Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to James and Flav for now. Thank you to our beloved patrons. And crucially, thank you to our lovely live show people. For those of you who don't know, we did our first ever live show on Monday. It was glorious. We've had a debrief on our mailbag. And again, you could have enjoyed all of that if you were to become a patron. So if you would like to become a patron, feel bloody free. There is one email that I've forgotten to put in the running order, but I do want to discuss very briefly because it was some thoughts from the live show. It came from a guy called Ben, and he said, "My housemate and I came along to Jaffin live show last night. We were the two specky kids sat on the front row, me in a lead shirt, him in a mullet."
Lead shirt's
Hot Hands, is he? Is that Hot Hands we're talking about?
No, right. Hot Hands was, I can't remember his name, the guy from the north somewhere.
Wouldn't want to.
Guy, I think. He was Scottish.
Okay. Elaine, because I wanted to thank you for the evening and leave you with my thoughts. Firstly, I'd bet money that Thomas Martin wouldn't be singing Nessendorma at the end and would actually be singing Noshendorma. And while I'm not that disappointed we can only move forwards, I feel like some brainstorming should happen between now and the next one. In any case, he was bloody brilliant. Again, for those of you who missed this live show, make sure you're at the next live show because, look, Tom needs to sing again, essentially. It was stunning.
I remember the kid with the mullet, and there's one picture where he looks really sad and, uninterested and like, what am I doing here? Mm. And then another one when Thomas Martin finished that and hit that note. He was ecstatic, this kid. Like, you watch it, he's like,
It was so good. So if you didn't come to this first one, obviously we did it at a smaller venue, which we thought was a big enough venue. It obviously wasn't. So we will look into going again and maybe trying to have a bigger capacity and just carrying on from it. Because it was really, really, really great fun to meet all of you. Just to finish off this email, because I feel like it's important. So I also wanted to get in touch because, much to my amusement, my housemate has been absolutely violated on Twitter, attached. Far more than being the brother who didn't know all the in-jokes, Jamie has actually been watching since One for the Weekend. Your insights and videos are part of our daily routine. And when we left, we, especially Jay, wished he'd used the chance to thank you more for being that even keel. His name is Jamie Winston, and I was wondering if it'd be possible to shout him out on the pod in any way, only if it's passing. So, Jamie, thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you to both you, Ben and Jamie, for coming. And just to show the violation, because it was funny, you tweeted this, Flav.
What? I can't see.
Oh, sorry, hang on. I can't speak.
I can't see. Speak. Can you see?
So, stage one of the violation was as follows. So, Flav thanking everyone. There's a lovely little picture there. If we skip along to Sonny, who had a lot to say for himself, despite not being at the event. He said, glad this guy had a laugh. Oh, no, sorry, it was Will who called him out.
Yeah, that's the guy. That's Mullet Guy.
That's Mullet Guy, yeah. Poor Mullet Guy was violated on Twitter. Because that's literally in the middle of a great moment there. Where everyone else is smiling. Look at all the smiling faces elsewhere. And he's just, I don't know what he's thinking. What's he contemplating there?
life, existing. What is the meaning of it all?
Indeed.
And then back to Chaffin.
Yeah. Anyway, definitely the brother who came along and didn't know all the in-jokes. There he is. He came for the nosh-offs and left disappointed. There were no noshes. Sadly, not, well, not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of.
I mean, I'll be fuming if there was and I wasn't aware of it. Like, I wasn't interested in getting involved.
Fuming. If I've not been notified of any noshes, I'll be absolutely fuming.
If there was any noshes that I wasn't aware of, they didn't count.
Yeah, didn't count. Fake nosh.
Didn't count. Yeah, it's like, forget it.
'Twas a fake nosh. Right. Last week it seemed to work quite well, so let's dive into some hot, steamy, sluggy, hook in. Just let's round up some slugs, some new slugs, with some football debate chat. Got lots of good stuff. No Big Jim Laugh Award this week, Flav.
Nothing? You didn't find anything funny?
There's a lot of interesting... Because I thought about this as I was doing the running order. I was like, lots of interesting chat, but very little funny chat, if I'm honest. We've got a Calling It. And actually, oh yeah, the live show. You'll never hear it because I won't read it on the pod. But the Calling It story from the live show, which is in the... It's in the... comments from last week's podcast. Go back and search Freddie Molyneux. His story was wild. And we've got some good stories as well. Lots to get through. So let's dive into it. Here we go. NS says, for such a good football analyst presenter, I honestly can't believe Jim doesn't get Aguero. It has to be the Man City tax. Has to be. Aguero is top three strikers of all time in the Premier League, with Shearer and Henry. And he ain't third, says NS. Yeah.
Are you a Man City fan, NS? If you are, then your point...
Void, isn't it?
Void, isn't it? Void. Yeah. Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, good point.
When I say Kane is better than Henry, people don't go, yeah, actually, I get what you're saying. They go, you're a Spurs fan, that's why you're saying it. If you're a Man City fan, your view is not important.
You is not important, indeed. There was actually a comment from something that you said, actually. Where is it? Here we go. Paul Casey. This was the top comment last week, Flav. Watching Flav and James talk about Thierry Henry feels like Shutter Island. Now, I'm probably going to upset a lot of people here. I haven't seen Shutter Island.
That's good.
Is it? Okay, you've seen it, so you might get it. Flav is the insane Teddy Daniels, Leonardo DiCaprio, and James is his partner, pretending to humour Teddy and doesn't tell him he's an insane asylum patient. James isn't telling Flav that he is insane and plays along without telling Flav he's insane. He's hoping Teddy, Flav, will realise that Henry is the greatest player in the Premier League history on his own, and so that he doesn't need to be given the death sentence. I don't know if that's good or not, but 236 likes on that.
He's not. Thierry Henry isn't even the top three best players, let alone best.
He's gone there. Okay. I'm happy to keep...
Strikers. He's third. He's ahead of Aguero, I'll give you that.
So the Aguero thing, where are you at with Aguero? The Man City tax is certainly a thing for me. And if you think of the goals that Haaland has scored, I think that paints quite a strong picture of how Aguero was very good, but not top three and was just... kind of, he's just a solid I think, striker.
No, he was good. It's just, there was something intensely boring about him. Do you know what I mean? Like, in the same way Manchester City are inherently boring, the way they've gone about their success is boring, the way they play football is boring. Henry, Aguero was a little bit boring with it, Jim. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that. He was good, he was great. But I just think it's very difficult. It's weirdly difficult to judge Man City players. Maybe that's something I need to reflect on, because I'm struggling to. It's weird. It's like it's almost like they've got. It's almost like they're doping in some way, isn't it, Flower? Yeah. I can't think. I'm scrabbling about that word just came out, but it does just feel like they've got some sort of unfair advantage somehow.
Yeah, and the It's It's fine, mate. It's fine. It's fine. Look, it's, you can't have all the money, all the trophies, and respect. You don't get everything.
Yeah, you'll never. That's get a great question. Name Enjoy someone. Who, name someone who's got all the money and all the respect.
It's like, you know, when they were making
and all the success.
They were making Ruben Loftus-Cheek. Yeah,
right.
God was making him, molding him. Go, done a good one here. Look, yeah. Come and look at this. This is a specimen of a human being. This is what all men should look like. But it's very tricky to do what we've done. Because look how beautiful he is. And you know what? We're going to make him one of the best footballers to ever... out of all the people that kicked for football, he's going to be one of the best.
Top 0.5%.
Yeah. And there you go. Go and enjoy. Enjoy.
That is it. What's the downside? What was this moment? That's it.
Just look, what I'm saying is, it's not fair, is it?
Right.
It's not fair. And that's what I'm saying. It's not, it isn't, there is no downside with Loftus-Cheek. Because, you know, I guess some people don't rate him, but that's it. But with Man City, there's clearly one thing that Man City fans crave, or some do, and that's the respect.
Yeah.
Which we'll never give him.
And Aguero, I'm giving you a certain level of respect. I'm just not putting you in the top three. I think if you play for Man City for that long and you've not scored more goals than everyone, something's up. And it's generally injuries, Sergio. So.
And it's just like it's a bit boring. But yeah, it's like... yeah, I mean, with Man City, it's like if you go there and win stuff, it doesn't count, right? So it's like... But when Kane was going there, I was like, I mean, leave, but not for them. Like, make it a challenge.
Yeah, it's funny that, isn't it? So what would allow you to go, do you know what, fair play, this crop have done well. Have they got to win all four?
Yeah, I mean, no. They'll never get it. I don't care. They're never having it. They're never having my respect, ever. But... Okay. I'll respect them this season if they pip Arsenal to the title. Then I'll give them my respect.
Right. In what form would it be? Just a gentle nod or anything
I would
more than that?
I would blow every single Man City player if they won the league. Every single one.
Who's the front of that queue? Let's say it at the same time.
Good.
One,
good.
Two, three. Kyle Walker.
Rodri. What?
All right. I thought Kyle would be there.
Kyle Walker's experts. No, fuck him.
I don't know. Okay, next one. This is good.
Haaland.
Do you think Haaland loves a blowjob, do you?
Oh, yeah, he absolutely loves a blowjob, yeah.
Which players love
that's
a blowjob
his thing.
The most?
Haaland's thing. He's just into blowjobs. Like, yeah. Some men don't like him. Some men claim
who's
they're overrated.
I mean, Gundogan's, no, it's fine. Let me serve you. Jacob Ford Thompson says this. Well, this is good. Again, as I say, not many funny comments this week, but lots of interesting ones. Interesting ones. Surely Ashley Cole has to get into the top three Premier League players of all time because he's the only one really with a chance of getting in the all-time world debate.
What do you mean? What? You think Ashley Cole should be in the all-time best left-back that's ever played the game?
So,
not Maldini?
See, this is what I can't get my head around this, like the Ashley... I don't know, maybe, there's probably an argument for it. This just feels like a really poor young person thing. But he's of my generation, so I don't really get it either. I get he won everything. But he's like...
But
he's not the greatest left-back of all time, is he?
Yeah, no. No one's picking him. Let's just, in case we're forgetting anyone, maybe he is up there and I'm just sort of just saying it because... He played for Arsenal.
I wonder if with this top three thing, this could go on for a while, where we'll get a long list of people that are in the conversation.
He's not better than Maldini,
make
is
our
he?
Way through, just figure this out.
He's not better than Maldini. Was he better than Lizarazu? Marcello, better than him?
Left-back's a funny one, isn't it? Because it's not really like...
It's Maldini. It's
there's not many game-changing left-backs, but it's obviously it's Maldini, isn't it? Has to be Maldini.
Yes, it's Maldini.
Yeah.
He won five Champions Leagues.
But do you know what? Is the left-back position and Ashley Cole's place in it in an all-time Premier League 11, is that the easiest position And thus, does that put him in the conversation for the top three Premier League players of all time?
No.
I get the point,
but it's not... No one is ever. If we hadn't even spoken about this, you can just pick whoever you want, and they're not aware that this conversation about Ashley Cole being in the top three is even happened. There isn't a single person on earth who's picking Ashley Cole as a top three Premier League player of all time. There isn't.
I like the angle from Jacob here, but I get what you're saying. I think so. If you frame the question like so, if I frame it like I've done there, right? Which player is the first or the easiest entry into the Premier League's all-time 11, I think it's probably Ashley Cole.
What was it? What in the all-time Premier League 11?
Yeah, but if I say to you, which players are in the conversation for the top three players of all time in the Premier League, he would be 50th on that list that you would reel off when you're thinking of names. Is he being undone by his position?
Yes. No, I mean, he's a left back, so he should never win it. Like Gary Neville is the answer for right back, probably. But he's probably not in the top 100 best players in the Premier League history.
So Matthew Blake says, yes, Jim, because it's a weak position. It's a weak position. That seems unfair, doesn't it? Some positions are stronger than others. Well, clearly, obviously, the striker and stuff like that.
I mean, no one... Your fullbacks are made. No one chooses to play fullback. They're made, aren't they?
Let's say, when we're judging the greatest players of all time, are we using the wrong metric? Because say like Haaland, right? Haaland has 20 touches a game. Whereas João Moutinho is having 90 Haaland's touches a game and keeping the ball and he's wriggling out of things and he's making tackles.
Haaland's touches are infinitely more difficult to perform with and infinitely more important than Moutinho.
Josh Rogers says you're either a failed winger or a failed centre-back.
It's true. When you were as a kid, James, right, and you... I'm not sure it's probably you too good for this to happen to, but certainly
chucked.
I had it.
I got chucked a right-back when I was in my difficult puberty years.
Yeah, so they go to, oh, you're playing right-back, and you're like... Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no, okay. What are we playing 4-4-2 again? Oh, are you dinosaur? That's all school teachers play 4-4-2.
I love the thought of you playing that Sunday league football. Like the team gets called out. Oh my God. And I presume we're playing 4. I presume it's 4-4-2 and it's not even a diamond, is it, sir?
I used to play for my school, Highbury Grove. And
I love how you always shout out the name of your school. No one knows the name of my school. Always go Highbury Grove.
I know, but because I often get messages going, I went to Highbury Grove, so I quite like it.
Because you keep announcing it.
Yeah. So I went to Highbury Grove School, and we used to play a school called St. Aloysius, where Joe Cole played.
Right.
And I played football with Joe Cole against him.
Did you?
Yeah, I've told you this story.
I don't remember it. Go on.
I was in year 9 maybe, and there's playing fields around the back it doesn't matter where they are, they're near the schools, right? And he played the first half, and it wasn't fair. We'd lost 13-2, and it was ridiculous. So they took him off. So the real match was the second half, which we won.
Oh, okay. Well done.
Yeah. I scored.
Joe Cole's nowhere near, is he? I was going to say, has he got a chance? Patrice Evra, people saying, when it comes to the left-back position, ooh. Dennis Irwin. Dan, I think the fact that... what kind of answered the question of how he is the easiest entry into the Premier League all-time 11 is the fact that the first name that came up was Matthew Blake saying Danny Rose.
Danny Rose.
John Arisa. Look, case closed.
Come on. They're good. They're solid... left backs. Like everyone's probably the one that gets closest, but it's actually Cole by country mile.
So I'll tell you what, guys, I'll pick one of them because I can literally just go copy and paste. But can you put forward a long list of players who are legitimately in the conversation for the top three players of all time in the Premier League?
Each week we'll build our Premier League super team. I guess it's the same as everyone else's, won't it?
Yeah, let's just stick with this one for now, love.
All right, we'll sorry.
You just say funny things. Oh, let me try all right. this.
Okay.
just quickly, just because I don't know if it was Seal Naya or if it was someone else, but someone messaged me on literally every platform because he was so outraged that when you asked the question of players that were great players and managers, I would said Franz Beckenbauer in that quick 2-minute conversation.
Yeah, you
and
did.
I didn't say Johan Cruyff. Yes, Johan Cruyff was probably the best manager and player.
Yeah.
Changed the game on and off the pitch. But like the outrage of just find, like, he needs to
everywhere.
Know. Okay, I've said it now. Breathe.
Yeah, bearing in mind, you know, what you've got to remember is we're just talking. Like, things come up. Yeah. Sometimes your brain doesn't recall the correct information. It's not like James went, oh, no, Johan Cruyff. Not Johan Cruyff. Mm. Beckenbauer. Just Johan Cruyff never came to his brain.
Yeah, I just went to France first. You've got to, guys, always remember, we're just talking. Just, that's a great point.
Well, anything, you're upset by anything, it's just words.
Yeah.
They're just words.
I think that is what, before you get outraged,
just remember
we're just talking. And is it worthy, considering it's just a conversation, is it worthy of having a go? A couple of people had a go at me for saying that the reason Newcastle's goal difference is so good is because they don't concede.
Yeah.
And a Newcastle fan, which I think is a fair comment, right? They've only conceded 19 goals.
Yeah, their defence is incredible.
But then someone who was a Newcastle fan said, what are you saying? We've conceded, we haven't got a clean sheet for 8 games.
Okay.
And normally I never comment back. Well, I had to go and look at the goals against column. They're doing brilliantly in that area. Honestly, it's clearly an outlier.
Just words as well. It's just words.
Yeah. I tell you what. First of all, is it just words? Can I move on from this? Second of all, let me look into this and make sure I'm right. Then write a comment. Okay. Haraku Nakagawa. You said you danced around it with the What is World Class segment, but I'd love to see more debates about how the table should be set for debating. / thinking about football and just things in general. What is the point of debating who's world class before we decide how to define world class? We did this. But why would we talk about the team needing to find an identity without a clear picture of what that means? I think that's a good one. That's why I chucked this in this. Because I think it is this idea of when the club's this lack of identity. I would like, what is the basic? Yeah, and this idea of stability, what's that? Those are the two that annoy me, that pundits will go, they haven't got stability. You can't stop and go, this club needs stability. What does that mean? Stability means, does that mean being clearer with your transfer strategy? Is that clear with your management, sticking with the guy regardless of you're winning or losing? Because let's be honest, no one provides real stability unless you're winning. And identity is, what is identity to you, Flav?
It doesn't mean anything. It's a bullshit term. It doesn't mean anything. it's like if team is playing well, they have good identity. If they're playing badly, there's no identity. It doesn't mean anything. It's just lazy, cliched stuff that people say when they're not sure what to say. I think what they're lacking identity. You hear it on Sky Sports all the time.
Where's the identity?
Where's the drive? Where's the identity? Where's the what is the process? You're like, you're just saying nothing because
those sweet, sweet Gunners, Arteta created the identity first prior to success. The club then showed stability by sticking with the manager, and then now we see the fruits.
So all right, we've got to the bottom of it. Stability is just whether or not you're giving your manager time. That's what it is, right?
I think stability. You can only truly believe in the stability of the club if they've gone through a difficult period, come through it with the same manager.
Yeah.
Unwritten rule.
They've got stability there, haven't they? They might be bottom of the league, but they've got stability.
Well, no, you kind of need to come through it. I need a manager that's been there for 3 years, or at least 2.5.
Do you think, of just in terms of stability, and it's interesting because obviously I don't know if it's 12 or 13 managers that have been sacked so far this season. It's 12, isn't it? But Chelsea have sacked 2.
Yeah. De Zerbi's the 11th longest reigning manager in the Premier League. And he came in September.
Right. So, all right. So, what of any of those managers do you think it was wrong sacking? Was it incorrect to get rid of them?
That is such a great question. Let's have a look. Let's make our way through. Oh, do you know what? I sent this to someone actually. Hang on, I'll find it. Where's Kai? Bear with, caller.
I hate.
There you go.
Fucking Brave. He's such a shit surgeon.
What?
Nothing.
Right. There have been 12 sackings. One thing I did notice was that every manager who is English from the start of the season has lost their job.
We're not very good, are we?
Oh, apart from Eddie Howe. Apart from Eddie Howe.
Appreciate He's it. Good.
Newcastle fans there, didn't they? They were ready.
Yeah.
That Newcastle fan who went after me. Oh, I've got one. And I know he is because he's definitely still the manager. And then I've just fucking smashed that in your face. Shut up!
Eddie Howe, the funny thing with Eddie Howe is that none of the top sort of big six, if you like, would have touched him. Six. The fans wouldn't have touched him. They just like, don't want Eddie Howe. I remember having this conversation. Look at what he's doing. And he's not doing these. He's got good players and they've signed well, but they aren't players that other clubs necessarily would have been clamoring to buy.
Yeah,
he's done brilliant. With Bruno Guimarães, probably that is the kind of the side, because I know Arsenal are in for him. He's mustard, right? But he's done incredibly well, Eddie Howe, and Eddie Howe is my point.
Yeah.
And now we find ourselves in a situation with Potter, where Spurs fans were like, nah, don't want Potter. Just don't want him. Couldn't really, do it at Chelsea. Really?
Where do you think you'll next see the pitter-patter of Potter?
Spurs is an option, to be fair. I don't know why you'd fucking come to us and work under that fucking dickhead Daniel Levy, but...
Do you know what? Someone put forward the idea to me of a video. One of the guys in the mailbag, probably someone watching right now. Forgive me, I've forgotten your name. Of Premier League manager swap. If you swapped every manager, like no one gets a sack, but everyone has to swap, could you make a good fit in everyone? Now, I don't want to do it now.
No, that's a video you should do.
Yeah.
It's one of yours, isn't it?
Just let me get that. Right. Let me distance myself from that video.
Let's, yeah,
if that comes up like on Bet Victor in the next 2 weeks, I'm fuming.
That sounds like work. Right, Scott Parker, Bournemouth. Who do you have been sacked? Do you remember the story around it, whereas he was blaming the board for not buying players?
Yeah.
Talked himself out of it.
Yeah, it was, and actually they've spent a lot of money.
Yeah,
it was, he got, and he's been sacked twice this year. He got sacked by Bruges as soon as they went out of the Champions League. It felt harsh, but
unfairly sacked.
It was early. Yeah, he did go for it though. I kind of got it, but it did seem it felt a little bit harsh.
He's fought in my life.
Yeah. He played a part in it that was unnecessary.
Thomas Tuchel was a mistake from Chelsea, wasn't it?
Thomas Tuchel's a huge mistake. Massive mistake. Great example of a lack of stability, because so I asked this question earlier in the week on the Ripple Effect. Would Chelsea, the landscape of Chelsea, be in a better position if Tuchel was the manager today?
Yeah.
The answer is obviously yes.
Yes.
Right? So great example of don't just sack him for no reason. Like, form
this
is temporary.
This is it.
Form
right.
is temporary. Unless you're QPR.
And he's look at Bayern Munich. They know what they're doing. Bayern Munich, good. They're good, aren't they? They sacked Nagelsmann, who Chelsea won for Tuchel because he was available.
Do you know what as well?
That's how they... So,
but they're stupid too, because Bayern Munich got rid of Nagelsmann because he's had a bit of a wobble, not really, and panicked because they wanted to get Tuchel in. And then Tuchel's just gone out. But Tuchel's just been knocked out of the cup by Freiburg.
Yeah.
So people lose football matches.
The players thought Nagelsmann was a bit of a gimp, apparently. That's what I've...
I think there was some stuff outside of it. But this is good. So Scott Parker, fairly sacked. Tuchel, unfairly sacked. Gerrard, fairly sacked.
They're fairly sacked. They just didn't do anything. They were nothing.
Frank Lampard.
Yeah, rubbish. Yeah. Bomb free.
Yeah, they were struggling. Nathan Jones, that was shut. It was quick, but again, created his own downfall.
He exploded. It was his fault. You can't talk about your owners. It makes the position untenable. It's not... I'm not look, and you can say, what, Conte unfairly sacked, isn't it? You can't talk about the way he did and throw his players under the bus and take no responsibility. So yeah, fuck him. He had to be sacked.
He burnt the kids,
left them in the house, set fire to the house and left them. Just walked
first
off.
Went first degree burns, point. Second degree burns. As he's watching, he's dead. Counting.
They're all
himself.
Dead. They're
third
dead.
Degree burn. Yeah. Jesse Marsh, they could have hung in there. But Xavi Gracia is doing very well. The problem with all of these, right? Haasenhüttl, again, could have.
He just had so long and nothing was happening.
Generally, I think if you get through unwritten rule here.
Twice.
Unwritten rule. If you get through to your third manager in a season, you've had a mess of a year. Southampton, Chelsea, QPR. Brendan Rodgers, it was getting pretty dark. I thought they might make the move. Thing is, as well, they're all just. They're all, the problem is like, bottom. when do we unlock the turbo boost, the bounce?
The big one I think they got wrong was Vieira. I thought the Palace looked good under Vieira, and I know that was 12 defeats, that's 12 without a win, but he had a tough run of games.
And the run now is nice. He might have got him over the line, and exactly. I think that's one of those where if you want to. Things though is weird. Like they've kind of weirdly provided themselves with a bit of stability by bringing back Roy Hodgson. It's kind of these sort of Hodgson and Lampard. Are they the new era where you just to go? You have Hodgson and Lampard on standby every season for a little 10-game burst at the end because they've got like good vibes. Maybe that's the future, as forecasted on the Ripple Effect in week two of the podcast. Imagine not following that.
Go and listen to it. What do you make of this Lampard going back? How have they gone from Thomas Tuchel to Frank Lampard in the same season? Like, it's mental. I'm convinced. I'm almost convinced by his first entire season that Todd Bowley is a fucking lunatic. In terms of footballing sense, he might be a very nice person. But his approach to football is mental.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just done a video quickly talking about Lampard. And when I got to Bowley, so if you were in a room with Todd, what would be your advice? Because Todd, are you okay? I'd be like, Todd, first of all, let's focus on you. A bit of self-care. Are you okay? Because it's a very pressured job. I understand that. Second thing I'd say is, you need to take a breath and slow down. just slow down. Because he's putting forward this idea of stability that we've been talking about. 5-year contract, manager.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Who's, clearly like a smart guy, and then you just shat the bed. He has shat the bed, isn't he?
He's not behaving like a chairman. He's behaving like it's a toy or something.
There's a huge lack of nerve here. There's a huge lack of nerve from the top. Like, is he the right guy or not? If he's not, don't sign. Don't make him the manager in the first place. You egg.
But he doesn't know. He doesn't. If he doesn't know. If he doesn't know football to this level, like this thing, like this idea that they have in America, where they truncate payments over a long period of time for a player in football, that's so risky. Any of those players that they bought worth the money they paid, and I'm not saying that they're paying $3 million, $10 million a season, and all that. There is a reason why everybody hasn't done what they do, because you're committing to an 8-year contract with these players. And football, you can go from being Fernando Torres, best striker in Europe, to being the worst in one season, one move. Heung-min Son has been one of the worst forwards in the Premier League this season. No one predicted that yesterday. He won the Golden Boot this year. Looks like half the player. That doesn't mean you still don't owe all the money you've committed to. So his approach is mental, in my opinion. He's bought loads of players that, for too much money, who have made... Fundamentally, Chelsea are worse this season than they were yesterday, like the season before, and they spent something like £450 million. They've just spent £17.8 million on a 15-year-old Ecuadorian. Like, it's... what the problem here
is... Nothing against 15-year-olds or Ecuadorians, by the way.
Yeah, but he shouldn't be paying £17 million for them.
Yeah.
Whether they're Ecuadorian otherwise. That's all I'm saying. Really? There's nothing against them or Ecuador. I love Ecuador.
2023 there in a couple of sentences. Just like, I'm panicking. I love the Ecuadorian community.
I fucking love Ecuador.
I love 15-year-old. No, yeah, I don't mean that.
Come to get me on Twitter. I don't mean... right. But do you understand what I'm saying? So is the problem is in order for a football club to work, and trust me, I know this now because Spurs are going through it, that we're kind of being left behind by the other clubs because our manager chooses regulation over ambition. Our chairman, rather. Anyway, so whatever the message is coming from the top is going to impact how a manager is able to manage. And the fact that he's sacked Tuchel shows how little he knows. Like, you're better off having Tuchel in 10th place and then rebuilding for next year because they're 11th now, right? You're better with all of this, with Tuchel at the helm, even if you have a poor season. It's not the end of the world if you have that much money, if Chelsea are not in the Champions League this year. Take the transitional year, get some stability with the manager, and allow him to build and have the best manager to do it. They had the best manager. Now they've got Frank fucking Lampard.
There's no identity.
What qualifies? No identity there, Jimbo. It's mental.
Maybe there's something in these phrases, because actually, I get what you mean. Like, this is the thing. It's like, just everyone just panics. They just look at Arsenal as a blueprint where you go.
Absolutely.
You go, okay, manager, sit down with the manager, go, how do you want to see this go in? How do you want to play? Right, what kind of player do we want? Right, we probably want hungry ones. Right, is it going to take a little bit of time with some of these guys? Yes, probably. And understand that takes time. You have to create the building blocks of manager with a clear vision, giving that manager time to do it, not panicking when it goes wrong. And the thing is as well, right?
And say Brendan Rodgers, right? That's the key bit.
It 2 sackings this week, right? Brendan Rodgers and Potter. Great example here is that Brendan Rodgers, right, has done incredible stuff at Leicester. And it will be a legend there. Because winning the FA Cup is a huge, huge deal. Talk about the fifth place finishes and if they could have done better. You know, they got themselves even into that position, which was incredibly impressive, right? But with 10 games to go, they were sinking really, really fast. And so making that change is necessary because it's a grave moment where you could go down, right?
Yeah.
The thing that I like, and I've probably, like, this goes against the video that I did with saying, like, fair enough, like, he's obviously clearly struggling. But the more I think about it, it's like Chelsea are unlikely to win the Champions League. There is no way that they get into the Champions League. So this isn't and they're financially fine, aren't they? Yeah. For now, right? So, you obviously didn't have a plan for the next guy. Otherwise, you would have gone bump, bump, change. Fucking slow down.
What is a project manager? What is Nagelsmann, Luis Enrique, whoever it might be, Pochettino, going to do at Chelsea that Tuchel couldn't?
And do you know what? Say you bring in Nagelsmann, right? Say you bring in Nagelsmann. You've not, so the thing with Potter is you've not empowered him. And the one thing that he's done wrong is he's probably not empowered himself. Arteta has a bit more of that kind of bullish alpha male leadership that Potter doesn't have. But say you bring in Nagelsmann, there's absolutely no reason why Nagelsmann comes in and, because it's a young group of players, struggles. And by struggle, I mean they're seventh in January. What's going to happen then? Are you going to... like, there's absolutely no reason why Chelsea could be miles off the Champions League next year. Are you going to hold your nerve then? This is the thing that I don't get with Topoli's. Like, when are you going to... at some stage, you need to hold your nerve. Because before, it looked like you've got the clear vision of going, well, look, we're going to buy these players and they're going to be here and that's it. And then I'll put my checkbook down. Off you go. This is it. But you're right. Like, football changes so quickly that could be a very precarious thing. And then with the manager that you've got that supposedly develops players, you've bottled it.
We knew that it didn't feel right when he took over, though. So we're not surprised. I think we even said that he won't see the end of the season. And I think a lot of people assume that as well. It was the wrong appointment. It's another wrong decision by Todd Boehly. Bringing in, you know, that side. I watched them play Liverpool the other night, and they've got some good players, really good players. They probably should be further up. They've got no striker. And this is in part of the problem with Potter's style, is that certainly with Chelsea, he had Kai Havertz, who isn't a number nine, but, you know, does his best kind of thing. But their style of play enables them lots of possession around the box, in and around the box, and not having a striker there, essentially giving up a striker for a sort of false nine style forward who likes to drop deep. But there's no pinpoint to... what's the word, actually? That's bullshit. I don't know what it is. But there's no focal point to the attack. And
focal point, if you're Micah Richards, because no one's told him that it's...
Does he say vocal point?
He keeps saying vocal point. I can't handle it. Someone tell him. If anyone meets him, just bloody tell him. Sorry, Micah. It's just to say it's focal point.
But they've got some good players, but I don't know if that's they're good enough to guarantee a top four finish. Obviously they're not.
Well, I think, do you know what it shows? It shows.
Yeah, Spurs, they were terrible.
Say Man United, their XG this year is, what is it? It's 40, right, for goals. And they've scored 41 goals. Right, that sounds like you're okay there, right? Harry Kane, his XG is 16. He scored 21 goals. And Man City and Arsenal, their XG is 59-57. Expected goals. They both scored 70 goals. So you need to be exceeding your XG. And so that's as much as they spent crazy amounts of money on forwards, they're sort of loose forwards. They're not put your house on it, gonna score, gonna outdo XG year in, year out. Bizarrely, right? If Chelsea had bought Danny Ings in January, I think Graham Potter would still be in the job. Because it's just about finishing the chances. They create enough chances. They don't bloody take them. So they're like one player away. So again, just calm down.
I'm quite
keen on them failing as well.
Fuck them. Do you know what I mean? Fuck them. What happens? Tell me this. Lampard wins 7 of his 9.
He's got to stay, isn't he?
Got to give him the job. That's essentially what you've done. Chelsea fans are probably happy. I'm sure... Rory's over the moon with a completely...
Yeah, and that's fine.
It's fine, but he's completely mediocre manager, completely not suited to or not able to manage the club size, any club for a matter. It's been failure everywhere he's gone. So, I don't know. I'm glad they've got him.
They'll win the Champions League, guaranteed. And
If he
wins the Champions League, you have to give him the job, don't you?
Not give him the job. We know the rule, James. We know the rule.
But at the same time, as you sign the contract, he knows on July 1st as he signs that contract, because after, you know, a week of celebrating, having beaten Man City in the Champions League, whoever it'll be, He knows he's out by October.
It's rinse and repeat. Yeah. Do you know who Chelsea have been linked with? I'm just looking at a tweet now. Jose Mourinho coming back. Luis Enrique at Nagelsmann, and Nuno Espirito Santo.
Danny Murphy. I've generally liked Danny Murphy, bizarrely. Mm. I know a lot of people don't. But his sort of his snobbery towards elite coaches when he was talking about Luis Enrique and I think it was Lampard as well. I mean, let's say Lampard, but Enrique, and there was someone, Nagelsmann, who's like, so his problem with Nagelsmann that he was 35, regardless of all the experiences he's got, far more than you, Danny. And the other thing was, who was it? Luis Enrique. He goes, I mean, he did all right at Barcelona, but he's been pretty dodgy since then. I was like, what? I kind of get the point that you're making, but like, I just found it hilarious. It was Danny Murphy.
Yeah. Anyway. Don't talk to me about pundits. Fucking, what's his name?
Genius.
Jamie Jones. Like, I can't watch this team anymore. This team is so much better than any fucking thing you played in. Probably not true, but
yeah.
You know, yeah. Modric near him, didn't he?
Quote of the week. Want to shout him out as well. Klaitz. If you guys don't know Klaitz, he looks a bit like me, actually. That seems to be a thing that does the rounds. But more importantly, he's a very, 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 very good YouTuber who makes great content and has a desire to have interesting and original ideas. So go and check out his YouTube channel. And he's on Twitch a lot, streaming FM. Anyway, this was his comment. Last week's pod. This pod was quintessentially Jaffan. I listened over the course of about 5 sittings, and each was wildly different, summed up by the swinging metronome that is Flav's character. So 1, Flav tells a story about standing on a slug within the first minute. 2, Flav picks Jan Vertonghen as the third best Premier League player ever. 3, Flav engages in a genuinely astute and calm football discussion, discussing the credentials of Vincent Kompany's managerial future. 4, Flav offers a heartfelt and kind encouragement to US fans of the English football. 5, Flav says the line, there's nothing better than a bit of schoolboy violence, is there? See you next week. Well, I hope you're enjoying it, Clay.
Good.
Not all good comments, sadly, last week. Callum C said this, could you make a video on this new Irish golden generation? There's a lot of excitement building over them after a horrible few years. French fans were really praising them last week.
No.
No,
of course not. What are you talking about?
Let me explain what we'll do. Thank you very much. What we'll do is I'll wake up the day of the podcast and in the 20 minutes that will then lead to probably maybe 30 minutes that will mean that we're late starting the podcast, which we do every single week, but somehow the patrons keep coming back. I will then, off the top of my head, try and find the biggest talking points that we can talk about briefly, poorly, whilst I'm screenshotting comments and putting them in the running order.
Yeah.
No, I won't be we're not going to be doing a video on this Irish golden generation that hasn't qualified for anything
don't
yet.
Don't care. Don't care about them. Tell me one player. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't even tell you an Irish footballer. I couldn't tell you, James, if my life depended on it, I couldn't tell you a single fucking player who is Irish currently.
Declan Rice, Jack Grealish.
Declan Rice isn't Irish, is he? Because he plays for England.
Yeah, good point.
Oh, do you know Harry Kane's Irish?
Callum, you want me to talk about international football in April?
Oh,
in the middle of the Premier League and the Champions League and everything's going on. You want me to talk about international? Callum, you're lost, mate.
You're fucking not only lost, I've got to say it. You're being a bit of a prick, mate. I don't even want to talk about international football during a World Cup. I'm not doing it now. Hmm. Certainly not doing it about bloody Ireland.
I'm struggling to talk about Gareth Southgate in or out. at this stage, because we've done it 500 times. So 1 week ban, Callum. Right.
Yeah.
He's calling it. It's a new bit on the podcast where we want you to put in the most ridiculous stories and we will either call it or not call it. Either way,
We can't even bring it up. I can't even tell it, but I still have flashbacks to that story, the other one.
Yeah, so Freddie told us one story, which is there's one about a dead dog that's in the comment section last week. But he also then told us about another one, which we just can't.
You can't bring it up. Can't bring it up.
And it's not like I'm a flirting thing. Oh, maybe we'll say it on the mailbag.
No,
we're not talking about.
We're never going to say
no.
It. Yeah. I wish I'd never heard it, so I'm definitely not going to spread it to thousands of people.
Yeah.
That it honestly, I as soon as he told, and there's no point. As soon as he told me, the image. Oh my god. They're like, oh, it's a terrible story to tell you, Freddie. It's Freddie, wasn't it, the guy?
I'm pretty sure
it's Freddie.
Do you know what he also said
lad.
To me?
What's a good-looking lad, though, Jim?
Yeah. He claimed that... Because I always find this funny when people claim that people that might be gay. Freddie, I'm going to check you under the bus here because it's funny. And if he, I don't know if he's gay or if he's not. I couldn't care less. But he said, apparently, Les Ferdinand's gay. I was like, okay. Don't care.
So just anyway. By the way, Les Ferdinand is gay.
The best thing, actually, but this guy was telling me, his mate was with him. And every time he started to tell a story, his mate had heard this story previously. And he was going, oh, my God, he's going to tell him that. So funny. Anyway, right, calling it. Mr. Fred Gamer, my story people don't believe. Is a quick one to get us warmed up. Pulling onto the motorway in one of those trailers that pulls horses joined on the ramp in front of us. I don't know what that means. Only it wasn't a horse, it was a giraffe. With its head poking out a little gap at the top of the trailer, which was at least 10 feet tall. When I've told anyone, they've looked at me like I need serious help.
No, I believe it.
Yeah, okay, not
calling that. I've got one, Jim. And this is something that almost no one believes. I don't think you believe me when I say
this. This is the Swan thing.
Yeah, this is true. Driving down the M4, there was a car parked on the hard shoulder, and there was a woman wrestling a bloodied swan into the back of the car. I brought this up before and been ridiculed for it, but it was true, and I'll swear on my children's lives that it happened.
Swan chat. Coming soon to the Jeff and podcast.
You got to rate a swan. A majestic bird. They're beautiful, aren't they?
Yeah. We had... actually, I'm not going to say. I've probably said it before, and numerous times you brought up the swan thing, because it's the only thing I have to say about swans. Doesn't matter. David Ababurko. When I was 11, back in 2009, my brother-in-law took me to a United... I presume he means Sheffield United. No, Man United... stadium tour on this like gold package deal thing where in the afternoon we got to go to the training ground Carrington for a walk around there. First team training session was in the morning, so it wasn't in full flow, but there were still a few senior players dotted about. Only younger players though, there wasn't any star names. Anyway, when we were walking around the training pitches, I needed to go to the bathroom, so one of the tour guide people took me to the bathroom. I'm 11 at the time, so he didn't need to come into the bathroom with me. So he just took me there and stood outside to take me back to the tour after I'd done. I walk through both sets of doors into the main bathroom and go to the far end cubicle. And as I walk past the middle one, I see former Man United Brazilian midfielder Anderson sat, lid down, shorts up, with two slices of red velvet, sort of hiding with cake. One nestled on a paper napkin between his legs and the other mid-bite. I left the bathroom immediately and said it was a false alarm, holding it until we left. Was that going to mean you can't wee anymore?
I think it's bullshit.
Yeah, but you don't leg it and not have a wee and hold it. No,
it's
man holds it.
Bit.
If man needs a wee and he's in a toilet, he's going to have the wee. He's not going to go, no, I'm going to hold it for 2 hours. You're not a woman.
Look, you can understand a world where a footballer would want to hide eating cake from the people around him. And he was a little bit sort of rotund for a footballer, by footballer standards.
Yeah, a little chubby cheeks, didn't he, actually?
But then he's an 11-year-old boy. He might run away. You do silly things when you're 11. Oh, no, he shouldn't be eating cake. Better get out of here.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Last one. This wasn't in calling it, but we were talking about, do you remember last week we were talking about how rugby players just love sort of banter?
Pissing in each other's mouths, don't they? And stuff like that.
Exactly. And I was saying how Sheffield Hallam, there was a rumour that for banter, two rugby players had made love.
For a laugh.
Yeah.
It's a laugh, isn't it?
Made sweet and gentle, caressing love to each other, to one another. Anyway, Joey Shafi says, received some PTSD during this podcast, last week's podcast. I went to Shelford Hallam for my PGCE and a few of the rugby lads tried to recruit me after seeing me coach a rugby session with my peers. They came across nice and civilised in the broad light of day and they suggested that I come to pre-drinks with them in a few days' time. I went with another lad who was on my PGCE and have never forgiven him or kept in contact after what occurred at those pre-drinks. We were given the message to walk straight into the house, and when we turned up, to my surprise, the entire team was in the house with a drink in one hand and one of their own frozen shits in the other.
Wow.
I sat in the bathroom for 2 hours until he went out and vanished into the night, scared and whimpering.
What? I know that's true. That's true. I'm not calling that at all. That is 100% true. It's not just rugby players, but typically rugby players and footballers, they do mental stuff. Like they're in their own hotel room and they'll shit in their own bath and go, look. And you're like, what? You've shat in your own room in the bath?
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? No, it's not funny. Yeah. You're a fucking creep.
Let me go get my medals for bath poos. There you go.
Look, I mean, did I poo in the shower? It's well funny. Am I going to clean up? No, some poor fucking underpaid cleaner's going to have to pick up your shit.
Yeah.
Cretin.
Totally. Yeah. Any more rugger stories, let us know. Not sure if it's funny or not. Probably got 1 week left, I presume. The pavement.
Thomas Martin says, my sister's boyfriend plays rugby and their banter is called bird bath. You have a guy pinch his scrotum with two fingers and another person has to drink a shot out of it as a forfeit. Oh, dear.
Hang on. You have a guy pinch his scrotum.
Makes like a little cup in the scrotum. You have to drink a shot out of it. Shot.
Hang on. I don't get it.
I think it's you have to roll it
you
up
have
and
a
create
guy
a little cup.
Pinch, you have a guy pinch his scrotum with two fingers. Is it you and your scrotum?
Yeah, you make a cup. He says you make a cup out of the scrotum. You imagine
stand,
that. You
stand up and show me what you're doing. Love.
Me?
Yeah, don't show. Look, literally.
I'll show you my balls. Like that. Can you see? No.
Well, you sort of roll. I'm so confused.
Like that. Like this.
Right.
And then you piss into that.
Right.
And then someone has to go down. You're like, imagine that's my scrote. Like that. Do you know what I mean? Like that.
Sort of.
And then you put the sambuca in there and your mate comes along and sucks it out.
Right.
Typical normal stuff.
Sure. Just innocent men.
Just normal men.
The pavement remembers. The opposite of the streets will forget. We've got a couple of inductees. Joe A says the pavement will always remember Gareth Barry with the sheer amount of appearance he has on the pitch. That on this Gareth Barry comment, and this will annoy the person, but again, if you do want to see it, I won't show you it now. But underneath this comment, there was someone who wrote literally an essay, which I didn't read too long. And then under that wrote, I know it's a bit cringe to reply to my own comment. He then added something extra to it and then wrote another comment underneath that. Tough time.
Is it longer?
I think his name was James. But I didn't read any of it because it was too long. Because we can't do massive essays. Not got it in me.
I'll read it, James. I'll read it for you.
Just
so you know that someone's read it.
Wasting your time.
Oh.
Sorry. It wasn't a good story. It was just
all right,
like...
Just leave it, James. He's already dead. For fuck's sake, you didn't read it. Just leave it. It wasn't worth my time. I want everyone to know.
But what? You expected me to... But honestly, just hear me out. Are you expecting
leave
me
it.
To read 2,000 words on Gareth Barry?
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it 2,000?
Oh, something like that.
You've got a lot to do.
Iron Lion Zion says, the pavement will always remember Mark Pembridge. Good choice. He did everything for Fulham. Throw-ins, corners. He brought oranges on at half-time. He drove the team bus. Anything for the team. What a guy. Yeah, that's good. And Lufty, how do you feel about this one? Pavements will always remember Michael Brown, a reliant Robin of a footballer. Dirty.
He's a so dirty,
dirty
little bastard. He was so dirty.
Do
you know what? You say you remember him. I can't remember anything he ever did. I don't even think I remember seeing him play for Spurs, and he played about 80 games for us.
When I think of him with Spurs, I think of him in those Kappa tops.
Yellow kit. Yellow. Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't thinking yellow. I was thinking the whole kit, but yeah. Anyway. No,
I got a lot of stick from my grey jumper last week, didn't I? It was the people said I looked like I was on a day release.
How was it? I thought it was the hair, but
yeah, it wasn't greasy either. Like, I read someone's comment, greasy hair, where Flav's let himself go, it's greasy hair. I was like, I literally had a shower that morning and washed it. It was greasy. Anyway.
Okay. And
someone just said, when we was having scrotum chat, someone just said, I love it here. in the paper, who was it?
Yeah, Mickey says, good times.
Adam Sullivan, I love it here so much.
fucked up school games. Finley Woodward. We had a game in about year 11, I think it was, where you would play one touch, one bounce, but if you messed up, then everyone would attack you. Ash says, we used to play a game called Join the Crew at school lunch. About 30 of us would meet behind the sports hall at the top of the field and would have to run the length of the hall where two people would be stood in the middle. It was the job of those two people to catch you, to take you down to the ground and beat you up until you said, join the crew. Right. Where you would then join in to having to catch people. A bit like British Bulldog, isn't it?
British Bulldog got banned in my school. Weren't allowed to play it. If we'd seen playing it, the teachers would come out and stop it. It is quite violent, and it's concrete as well. We didn't have grass, so we just played on concrete.
Same.
People that don't know, do they know? Everyone knows what British Bulldog is, don't they?
Yeah, there was that, and there's one called Dragons. I think British Bulldog is a bit more violent.
Yeah, you basically have to run from one end of the school playground to the other, and the other person had to stop. Well, it actually got... We were allowed to play it if it was just touched, but you used to be have to be tackled to the ground.
That's it. Dragons was touch. British Bulldog was you like actually grabbed them.
Probably can call it British Bulldog now. Get cancelled. Oh, man, it.
Well, it's gone, man. Toby Unwin. I met a Toby on the live show. If it's you, hello. Fucked up games. Bruise Ball. Not to be conflated with Bielsa's Murder Ball. After it started raining on the Astro, six of us found refuge in the squash court and we started to play one touch in there. The wall made a thunderous clap when the ball hit it, so we were all smashing it as hard as we could. Still wet, sliding around everywhere. It was all good fun until one of our mates switched the lights off. Pandemonium. Absolute darkness. Walking to the wall territory. Word spread of our antics, and at the next opportunity, about 15 of us snuck back into the squash court with about 11 footballs and one rugby ball. Project Darkness was resumed. Stumbling around, footballs flying everywhere, tripping over both the balls and each other, walking headfirst into walls, trying to find the rugby ball. Brackets, that was the aim, apparently. The meta quickly emerged. Stop caring about the ball, lest you become the target, and just attack each other under the guise of playing the game. Darkness masking your identity. Mass scrums would form, accompanied by a few lads standing on the edges, pelting footballs blindly into the scrum. It became a cathedral of chaos. The bell eventually rang, and we all emerged battered, bruised, and out of breath and sweaty. All of us grinning like Cheshire cats. Bliss.
Good.
And that's your podcast. I was going to talk about Liverpool-Arsenal, but... Because it is a big game. Do you remember we used to do that? Do you remember we used to try and guise the podcast in a preview of the big match?
Yeah.
But yeah.
It doesn't really make a difference. Didn't need to do that, did we? Sort of same views. Yeah, too big for that now, Jim. Mm. Is there any... Can you just give me some vague hope that that Arsenal might drop points and City will win every game?
Jurgen Klopp has not beaten a team more... in the Premier League than Arsenal 12 in his whole career. Freiburg is the most with 13. He could match that this weekend. And also he dropped a lot of those players. You expect a reaction from them. The Anfield crowd. Could you check that
in? He didn't drop them. He rested them, didn't he? Rested them. Salah is fit. Like, do you reckon he looked at this and thought, Chelsea at home, we probably could get a result, at least draw there.
Chelsea were.
And then at home against Arsenal, we're going to need our best. Yeah, sorry. We're going to need our best players, and that's what it is. And they've had like a week's rest, pretty much.
I think
Newcastle
away
is going to be difficult, isn't it? Newcastle away is going to be difficult for Arsenal, surely. Chelsea are a better team than their league position. Good team. Got Lampard. They've fucked that.
They've got tricky games. They do still have some tricky games left.
Couldn't they? Because City could win their game in hand. That would be five. They could beat Arsenal at Main Road. The Etihad. that would be two. And then Arsenal...
I'll tell you what, here, this will help you. Here you go. Look,
yeah, go on.
What one must remember is Man City have got a game in hand, okay? Arsenal are 8 points clear. Man City win that game in hand. They are starting to purr. They've got easier games this weekend as well, okay? So let's say even just this game, Anfield away, so you draw it. Man City play Southampton at home. That would mean that that's 6 points with a game in hand. Win that game in hand. All of a sudden, it's...
Win that game in hand, that's three.
That's three. And you've still got to play Arsenal.
Win that at Etihad.
Yeah, and you're beating them on goal difference.
You're beating them on goal difference. And then Arsenal have to win every game. Every single one.
And go miles past Man City's goal difference because Arsenal's goal difference will have gone backwards because they've lost to Man City.
That's a point, James. That is a point. The goal difference is a point. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it's fine.
Keep calm.
Brilliant. What a way to end.
I said they
thank God for that. Thank God for that, Jim. Jesus.
Just so if I can chat this in the world as well. There's no...
We've got that story as well. We've got the whole bottle job story to bring up when they don't do it.
I'll be getting
In the locker. I've had that in the locker over there. Forgot about it.
QPR will not win this week, before you all start messaging me, that it's not happening, okay? Let's just all accept that,
Jim.
And we're going down, and that's it. We'll leave it there. We'll see you next week. There's nothing to talk about. Guaranteed defeat. Right, have a great week. Lots of love. Have a great Easter.
I've got a really bad feeling.
I know. We all understand that there's no way we get anything from this game against Preston. See you next time.
I really don't want...
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.